I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to another edition of Waiting for Next Year's Cavs Cast, part of the Evergreen Podcast Network. I'm Seth Wanamaker. I'm going solo tonight as our host, co-host Josh Paloha has transitioned on to 11 Warriors, where he'll be covering content for the Buckeyes. Follow Josh and all the guys at 11 Warriors at 11W and continue to keep up with Josh and all of his great work. Best of luck, man. Donovan Mitchell. I was on a plane to Portland, Oregon, when the Donovan Mitchell news broke. I had to come back, give thoughts on the trade, talk about Mitchell's introductory press conference, and ask a few questions that I currently have that I'll be keeping tabs on throughout training camp and early on in the season. Before we get there, a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. It can be tough to train your brain to stay in problem-solving mode when faced with a challenge in life. But when you learn how to find your own solutions, there's no better feeling. A therapist can help you become a better problem solver, making it easier to accomplish your goals, no matter how big or small. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, BetterHelp is a great option. It's convenient, accessible, affordable, and entirely online. When you want to be a better problem solver, therapy can get you there. Visit BetterHelp.com/WFNY today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/WFNY. Now, on to Donovan Mitchell. First things first, Donovan Mitchell traded to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Some would say, I mentioned this might happen back in April 2022. I would say that. I'm patting myself on the back. I said that. It's on recording. It's in the podcast. If you've been listening, I said it. I need some more pats on the back for that, but it is what it is. First things first with this trade, I have to give some shine and some love to the outgoing players. So it's a huge deal, right? First round picks, pick swaps, players. Colin Sexton, Lauri Markkanen, Ochai Agbaji, who hasn't played a minute yet for the Cleveland Cavaliers, mind you. Colin Sexton, I have to start off with this guy. I'm so happy that he got paid. I'm so happy that he got paid. He's one of the most tireless workers in the entire NBA. He's an elite competitor. He wants to win more than 99.9% of NBA players you watch. If it's Tuesday in January in Portland, he's busting his ass to win. If it's a primetime game, he's busting his ass to win. I just love this kid's competitiveness. And I'm happy to see him go to a situation where he can go do his thing. He's going to be the primary scorer for the Utah Jazz next season. And I cannot wait to see what he does, as long as it's not to the Cavaliers. My favorite memory of Colin, going back to two seasons ago in 2021, the Brooklyn Nets had just formed their big three with James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant. They came into Cleveland on a January night in 2021, and Colin Sexton dropped 42 points for an improbable win and just completely gutted them. He hit multiple three-pointers over outstretched arms of James Harden, Kyrie Irving. I think at one point Kyrie even dapped him up after a great bucket. Just one of those moments, you know, in 2020, 2021, 2020, 2019, we didn't have a lot to cheer for, right? So those memories stuck out a little bit. So I wanted to give Colin a shout out there. The other two guys outgoing in the deal, Lauri Markkanen, you know, he played well for the Cavaliers last year, right? He was the reason that they had good spacing with their starting crew. When you have a starting five that includes Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, they needed a shooter. And that's what Lauri Markkanen did. It wasn't always there for him. He had his ups and downs, but man, he gave them the spacing that allowed them to be a good enough offensive team while letting their defensive identity really fall through. So I'm going to miss him. Going to miss his crazy bonkers dunks that he would do. He had some of the best sneaky poster dunks in all the league last year. So it'll be interesting to see what he does this upcoming year. And he's coming off a great, great summer. He absolutely showed out for the Finland team in the Olympics. And you know, I can't wait to see what he does this upcoming year. And then the last guy, I'm only putting him last because he didn't play a minute with the Cavaliers, but it's Oche Agbaji, right? The rookie from Kansas, who was an outstanding player his senior year. It's unfortunate that he was involved in this deal. I'm sure the Cavaliers tried to get this deal done while keeping him, because he is the exact type of player that this Cavalier team needs. A guy who doesn't need the ball, who can shoot it well, and who's going to play defense. And it's unfortunate, but in order to get a top-tier talent, you've got to give a little bit on the other side. And that's why on the press conference, Kobe Altman said there's some pain there on both sides, right? When you make a big trade for an all-star, there's pain on the Cavaliers sides giving up a guy like Agbaji. And there's obviously pain on the Utah Jazz sides giving up a top three shooting guard in the league. So just wanted to comment on those three guys very quickly. Obviously we have had the most history with Colin Sexton, and I just love the kid's competitiveness, and I wish him all the best, you know, throughout the rest of his career, and hope he continues to stay healthy. Now on the incoming side, Donovan Mitchell, who in my opinion, as I just said, is a top three shooting guard in this league, someone who's had sustained success and is truly the engine of a top-tier playoff team in the Western Conference. If you've watched the Utah Jazz the past couple of years, it's Donovan Mitchell. His utilization is off the charts high. He's on ball all the time, and he was the creator for that team. He's a dynamic three-point shooter with volume. So last year, he almost shot 10 threes per game. He was upwards around 9.7, I believe, but he's continued to stack that throughout his career, where from a percentage standpoint, he's never really been a 40% plus three-point guy, but the volume is very there and it's very real. And he's always been around, you know, that 35, 36, 38%. The Cavs, just to be clear, the Cavs do not have anyone that puts up the type of three-point volume that Donovan Mitchell has in his career, and why I think it's going to be huge for him and for this team that he continues to do that. A little bit more about Donovan. He's a career 24 points per game scorer. Most importantly, and why I think the Cavaliers made this move, is we saw what happened last year in the play-in games, right? Against the Brooklyn Nets and against the Atlanta Hawks. Don't let Darius Garland beat you, right? That was the key for both of those teams throughout those games. Blitz Darius Garland, make him give up the ball and make somebody else beat you. When you put Donovan Mitchell with Darius Garland, you can't consistently do that. The other one is going to hurt you eventually, and why I think the Cavs thought it was the right time to go get this type of player. A bit more on that. Why now? Why was the consolidation trade done now? Why was this the right player at the right time? First things first, one of the most appealing things about Donovan Mitchell is he's under team control for the next three seasons. So this isn't one of those scenarios where it's a one-year rental and you hope the guy enjoys it here and you have to, you know, sign him to a new contract. No, Donovan Mitchell is under contract for the next three seasons, which really gives this young Cleveland Cavaliers team that runway, right? Next year is not championship or bust. Next year is continue to get that good experience, make the playoffs, get some of those, you know, nasty, tough seven-game series wins. And you hope year two, year three, better things come. Why did the Cavaliers think it was the right time? The Cavaliers have been building for a consolidation trade, right? Once we figured out that Evan Mobley is the real deal, as Darius Garland made his leap, as Jared Allen turned into an all-star center, it's very obvious what they needed. They needed a dynamic scoring offensive piece. Would they have liked that dynamic piece to be a wing, a small forward who's 6'8 and can play, make, and score? Sure. But when was that guy going to become available? And oh yeah, they don't grow on trees, do they? The hardest position in the NBA to get is that 6'8 playmaking wing, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, LeBron James, etc. This was what I think their best way to go get the offensive piece. And they've showed in the past, they'll figure it out from a lineup's perspective, right? We saw that with the big three lineup this past year on the defensive end. We figured out that JB can do some unorthodox things and produce results. So why now? Well, Donovan Mitchell is a top shooting guard in the league. If you look at their young core now, their young core of four players, Garland, Mitchell, Mobley, and Allen, all four of those guys are essentially in the top 50 in the NBA per ESPN's NBA latest rankings. Jared Allen's number 52 in the league. Darius Garland, 46, which I think is a bit too low. Evan Mobley, 36, and Donovan Mitchell in the 20s. You compile four guys who are ranked in the roughly the top 50 of the league, and absolutely, it's the right time to go in and make that type of move. The last reason of why I think Cleveland thought, okay, this is the right time to make this move is Donovan Mitchell is a playoff offensive assassin. This is a guy who has proven multiple times that he's going to be your leading scorer and will have success in the playoffs. Going back to 2020, Donovan Mitchell in a playoff series against the Denver Nuggets in an insanely good matchup against Jamal Murray in the bubble, Donovan Mitchell averaged 36 points, 5 assists, and 5 rebounds in that playoff series. Now, ultimately, they did end up losing that series, but when you're going up against Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter Jr., and others, they're a tough out, right? But Donovan Mitchell averaged 36, 5, and 5, shooting 52%. He's the exact type of player the Cavaliers saw that they needed after they lost those two play-in games last season to the Brooklyn Nets and Atlanta Hawks.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So I know we've all talked about Donovan Mitchell and the trade. I haven't selfishly had a chance to do that yet in the podcast form, so I had to give you those couple minutes on my initial thoughts, reactions, and why I think it was the right time for the Cavaliers to make that move. I'll fast forward now to just a few days ago in the press conference. There was some pretty cool stuff I thought that the Cavaliers did for the press conference, such as invite season ticket holders to meet Donovan Mitchell coming right off his private jet at the Burke Lakefront Airport. He had a standing ovation, a bunch of fans going wild for him, which he openly said he loved and he truly appreciated. But the press conference I thought was fantastic. It doesn't really matter in terms of basketball, but I think we as in Cleveland fans, we're all watching for clues of, does this guy really want to be here? His contract is over in 3 years. Is he even open to the idea of staying here long-term and building with this team? And a couple of things I really liked about how that introductory press conference went was one of the first things he said was he didn't demand a trade this offseason because he didn't think he played well enough to do that last year. He's openly critical of himself and saying, I need to get better on the defensive end. I didn't play well enough to demand a trade from the Utah Jazz. And to me, that tells me a lot about his character and his openness to a new situation being here in Cleveland. A couple other things, and this may be more so for like a beat writer than anything else, but just a couple of cool things were, it was reported by Brian Windhorst when Donovan Mitchell figured out who he was traded for onto the Cleveland Cavaliers. He was on the golf course, and with excitement, he was running around and screaming, yelling in excitement that he figured out that Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, and Jared Allen were all staying in Cleveland. I think his concern was as he was getting moved to the Cavaliers, who was going to go back to Utah in that deal? And was he going to jeopardize one of those players, you know, moving and not being able to play here? Once he figured out that those core three are still in Cleveland, he was ecstatic and he confirmed that report. So another kind of feather in the hat for a Cavalier fan, just looking for little clues, right, at that introductory press conference to make sure that he's open to the notion of being here and generally excited about it. And the last piece was just his tie with LeBron James. So he admitted that he had a Cavaliers email account as he grew up. He had multiple pictures of himself in a LeBron James jersey growing up. So just, you know, 10 out of 10, I think, from the Cleveland Cavaliers organization on the press conference to make him feel wanted. But as a fan, and maybe this is a little Brownsy of me, I was looking for clues of, is this guy really here? Is he going to want to be here? Does he want to grow with this team? And, you know, those three things that I saw kind of kept checking the boxes and genuinely just got me even more excited about the upcoming season. Speaking of the upcoming season, I've got a couple of open thoughts, questions that I'm going to keep eyeing, you know, throughout training camp that I think the Cavaliers need to figure out, right? With this type of move, they went all in. This is their big move. They don't have additional assets, first round picks to make, you know, additional moves, right? This is primarily going to be their core. So with that, no team is perfect, right? There's some questions. The first thing I'm wondering about and I'm excited to see throughout training camp and preseason is how long does it take for Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell to figure out the best way to play with each other? And what I mean by that is Donovan Mitchell is an extremely high usage guard that's continued to climb every year he's been in the league. He's been very ball dominant, as he's had to be, right? He hasn't had that same type of offensive firepower in Utah that Cleveland does now. But the way that he's gelled and the way that he's evolved and his game has evolved has been to be an on-ball offensive creator and scorer. How does that look like now with Darius Garland, who's one of the best orchestrators and one of the best pure point guards in the league? Is Donovan comfortable playing off ball? On the flip side, is Darius Garland comfortable playing off ball? This gives JB Bickerstaff and his offensive assistants a lot of flexibility and options. So I'll be very curious to see how does Garland and Mitchell ultimately figure out how to best play together and how to maximize the big guys, right? We expect big leaps up from Evan Mobley. We expect open shots for whomever plays small forward. We expect easy lobs and dunks for Jared Allen. How can those guys bring all that out in the meantime, figuring out the best way to get what they need to get to win this club basketball games? The second question, and I just hit on it, is the small forward position. Who is that starting small forward going to be? I think there's a few guys internally on this club that probably have some type of chance. When you think about a guy like Caris LeVert, who the Cavaliers traded for midway through the year last year, who had his ups and downs. When you think about Isaac Okoro, who is going into his third season from Auburn, and just to be frank, needs to show that he can be an adequate offensive player if he wants to get meaningful minutes in the NBA, right? The percentages, shooting percentages went up last year, but the volume did not. And Isaac Okoro took a whole heck of a lot of shots where guys were begging him to take the shot, right? So even though the percentages looked decent, he was wide open. Another couple guys, and I'll give them lesser odds than I will Okoro and LeVert, are guys like Lamar Stevens and Dean Wade. Likely more so from a depth perspective, but again, guys who could be looked at as potential candidates to be that small starting small forward option. I have my thoughts about who would be the best fit. And I think it's pretty obvious from a fit standpoint with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland starting, you need a guy who is going to go guard the other team's best guard or forward, small forward. And that guy the past 2 years has been Isaac Okoro. Now, as long as the offense can come along enough to support it, I think Okoro would fit into the starting small forward role perfectly fine. If he doesn't, or if that regresses, you know, Caris LeVert could potentially be an option. How good Caris LeVert is being the initiator in the pick and roll offense, to me, makes it seem like he's the perfect sixth man to come off the bench and really drive that second team with Hal Neto. But it's obviously something that we need to keep tabs on and continue to monitor is who's getting those cracks at the small forward position. Although I do agree that it can be overrated who starts. It's really all about who finishes. It is, however, important for the right guys to get minutes together early on in the season, right? We saw all season last year where in the Atlanta Hawks playing game, there were guys playing in a lineup for the first time throughout the entire season because of injuries, right? Things happen. Things are going to happen this upcoming season. Guys are going to get hurt, injured. We're going to see Dean Wade and Lamar Stevens minutes. It's going to happen, I promise. It's important, I think, for the right guys to get minutes as early as possible so that as guys, you know, bounce in and bounce out of the lineup due to ailments, et cetera, that there's some experience there. So second question being, what happens with the starting small forward role? The third question I have, and this is really for Colby Altman and crew, is the roster set? So the Cavaliers traded three guys in the Donovan Mitchell trade, and they got one back. They were technically one over where they needed to be. So there is still a roster spot open. Now they've brought some guys in over the past few days for training camp invites, but is there a veteran minimum type guy who they'd like to, you know, look into and appoint? There's some veterans out there, right? Teams like the Spurs are shopping some of their guys, like, for example, a Josh Richardson. The Phoenix Suns are shopping Jay Crowder. There's wings out there that I could see the Cavs having some interest in. I'm not saying either one of those two players, but that type of archetype could make sense for this Cavaliers team if they don't feel like they have what they need from an internal perspective. One other note in terms of the roster, there's some significant dollars that are on the last year of their deals this season, right? Kevin Love makes nearly $29 million, and he's on the last year of that deal this year. Caris LeVert also on the last year of his deal. He makes nearly $19 million. So you're looking at, if you accumulate those, almost $47, $48 million on the last years of their deal for this Cavs team. Are there going to be extensions, you know, throughout the year? Would they look to potentially trade somebody on the last year of their deal? You know, there's a lot of options and flexibility, although they gave up a lot of assets for this Donovan Mitchell trade. There's a lot of things that can still be done, and there's a lot of money coming off the books. So that'll be something I'll be watching, you know, throughout the year. And really, it'll be dependent on how Kevin and Caris play. That's it for me. I needed to get a few things off my chest in terms of the Donovan Mitchell trade, why I loved it, why I should be getting patted on the back because I called it in April. I'll stop saying that, but had to get it in one more time. Wanted to get in here and talk about the introductory press conference. A few key questions I'm interested in. The Cavs play their first preseason game October 5th, so it's coming quick. Just about 2 weeks away. The Cavs cast will continue to be back here. We'll break down the most anticipated season since 2018, right? I mean, this team should be challenging for home court in the first round of the playoffs. The most anticipated season since 2018. I cannot wait to continue to talk about it with you all. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back soon. Go Cavs.
The Korean War has sadly been known as the Forgotten War, but half a century earlier, the United States was locked in a bloody conflict in Asia that's been all but erased from the history books. Hi, I'm Alex Hasty, the host of Ohio vs. the World, an American history podcast on the Evergreen Podcast Network. In our newest episode, we speak to experts about the Philippine-American War, America's first Asian counterinsurgency conflict. The heroes, the villains. We'll discuss President McKinley, Admiral Dewey, the vicious brutality of the fighting, and the scandals and war crimes that nearly sunk Theodore Roosevelt's presidency. Check out our show, Ohio vs. the World, on the Evergreen Podcast Network for our new episode about America's most forgotten war. Now back to the show.